ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we do it?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, B-Mac behind the glass. It is a Friday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, a getaway edition of the Killer Bees. Friday, of course, weekend. Not quite 3 hours away, because PC went a little bit long. A rip-roaring start today. PC goes a couple minutes long. And I get ambushed by the RBI versus RBIs debate.
That is your debate. People that know
I wasn't ready
to
have it today. I didn't know I was walking right into that.
I don't think it was fair you got ambushed by a member of our network side. But it is definitely something that when people find out about it, they do want a PC.
Oh, I feel strongly about it. I certainly do. But yeah, I walk into the door of the bullpen, I'm not even 1 foot in yet.
Oh.
You're an RBIs guy? Yeah, I am an RBIs guy because I have ethics. I would have grammar that I like to cite. There's certain laws that we're supposed to use in journalism that I follow. I'm not somebody who just walks around recklessly and says things like 3 RBI. Who does that? People that are trying to create their own laws of language. Uh-uh. We have laws to follow around here when it comes to language, and it's 3 RBIs. I digress. What's going on?
Trying to get the listeners involved in this now?
Not really. I really don't want to have this conversation. I think I did.
Because I think that some people would hear that and say, well, it's not 3 batted ins.
Okay.
Just throwing it out there.
Do you believe in AP style? Yes or no? Do you believe in MLA formatting? Yes or no? If you believe in either one of those things, they tell you that the rules are whenever you plural, you make an acronym plural. When you make an acronym plural, you add an apostrophe S to the end of the acronym. Like RBIs, even though the S is after the run. Just like weapons of mass destruction. Just like prisoners of war. It's not unique to RBIs, people. It's not unique to RBIs, Greg Frank. It's not unique to RBIs, Baseball Tonight dude, whose name for some reason escaped me.
Carl Ravitz. Ravi.
And then BMAC apparently was the maestro of all of this.
Yep.
BMAC's the one who apparently orchestrated all of this. Hey, when Branham comes in, why don't you ambush him with this?
No, that's unfair. That's unfair.
Stirred it up, man.
Greg and I were having a conversation. I happened to say something like multiple RBI is RBI and RBIs, and Greg said, thank you for not saying it or for saying it correctly. And I happened to mention that the only argument you and I have ever had over like 5 years has been how you say RBI or RBIs.
You guys are literacy liberals. Literature liberals.
If that's what it makes me, I'm fine with
B-Mac
that.
B-Mac actually had one more argument with you than I have?
See, that's the thing, Blankers, is like I have to mentally prepare myself for the 3 hours Monday through Friday of this show. Yoga, meditation, deep breaths, trying to get through 3 hours with you.
That's nice.
And look, I'm not, this isn't like a personal shot or anything.
I know
it might seem that way. I know it might come across that way. Yep. But a lot of mental preparation to sitting next to you for 3 hours. And look, I'm sure it's not unique to me. I'm sure you go through the same thing. Mm-hmm. So those last few minutes that I have in the bullpen, those 15 to 20 minutes, I like for that to be zen. I channel my inner
when
Phil Jackson.
When you're eating your daily soup?
Yeah, soup is part of that routine. Sometimes
followed
it's a salad.
By your daily third. Oh, never mind.
I mean, hey, I'm a very regular person. Mm. I'm a very regular person. It's a sign of good health. And before I take a first step into the bullpen, I get ambushed with an argument. That's just not how I want to spend my final 15 minutes before I'm ready for combat.
Combat. Oh, man, it just gets better by the minute, and I've tried to abstain from the conversation.
It just ruined my
it's
Friday.
Beautiful.
I love Fridays. Love Fridays.
Yeah, I do, too.
Love Fridays.
And now we ruin that for you?
Yeah.
Perked mine up and made it better.
Well, I mean, you stormed in on PC, so I mean, I don't think that you were going all that great anyways.
For the sake of our show, there's a lot of value in a full 3 hours of the Bees.
Exactly.
And we don't like to get slighted. So, yeah, if I got to be the bouncer and the fall guy and go in and tell PC to shut the hell up, that's what I'll do.
A rip-roaring start to the Killer Bees on a getaway Friday edition of the show. All right, let's try to pep it up a little bit. Let's try to pep Hamilton up a little bit.
No.
D'Amico Ryan's interviews today. If you know whether it's in person or Zoom, I would love to know. I could not find it. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776.
Isn't San Francisco near a Disney kind of land or world? I might be able to take my plane if that's the case.
I'm not sure about California geography. How close is
in LA.
San
it's
Francisco?
In the is that Disneyland is in Anaheim.
San Fran's SoCal though, right?
And San Fran is about
San Fran is NorCal.
Is it NorCal? Yeah, so it's
about
not close.
5 hours away.
No, they're not close.
Yeah, they're not close. So it's probably the likelihood of them flying there is probably slim to none.
Well, I think there might be another airport we could take my plane to if it's closer.
Maybe so.
Do I get those ears? Because I like those ears.
Am I putting way too much importance on Zoom and in person though? Because
I thought you were spot on. I think after what we talked about yesterday, the fact of the matter is, if you want to show that you mean business in sports, when it comes down to meetings, free agencies, hirings, all these different things, you have to kind of put your clout out there a little bit. You have to kind of show and kind of swoon in on who your target is and impress them. And a Zoom chat doesn't. I don't care what your background is and how many times you've seen ESPN do it to where you think if you put a skyline shot with the sun shining behind you that it's going to make everybody's day. It's not. If you show up in your private plane and you pick them up in a limousine and you take them somewhere for a really nice meal and you extend that meal into drinks or going somewhere else so that you can have some real serious conversations, that can actually impress somebody. A Zoom chat is not going to do it, and it does not show you mean business. You were spot on with your tweet.
This is the because I don't know if D'Amico's interviewing in person or if the if the Texans are making the flight out there, he's certainly not traveling. There's no doubt he's not traveling right ahead of the game this
not
week.
On the game week.
But they can travel to San Fran. They can go to him and have that conversation. I tried to dig and find if it was going to be an in-person or a Zoom.
Call
the
Berman.
In-person will be in California. Okay.
Berman will know, wouldn't he?
I don't know.
Berman has like ins with every baggage claim operator and ticket taker and airport people.
Well, yeah, he does. He does. Maybe Berman would know. But if you know, if it's a Zoom or in person, I want to know. 713-780-3776. I even listened to the D'Amico Ryan's press conference from yesterday, trying to figure out if he gave away any clues. And he didn't. He said that he has a bunch of interviews lined up over the next few days. Some of them are in person. Some of them are via Zoom. So it could be either way. Denver met with him yesterday in person, by the way. Denver went to him, which right now, if you're comparing openings and you're comparing ownership groups, and look, I think ownership matters whenever you're, you know, a coaching candidate that has multiple options. I think you're probably going to chase good ownership versus bad ownership. Denver, so far, we know, has went to two candidates. They went to L.A. to meet with Sean Payton for 5 to 6 hours. They went to San Fran to meet with D'Amico Ryans for however long they met with D'Amico Ryans. The Houston Texans, on the other hand, they've already had an interview with Jonathan Gannon. That was a Zoom meeting. They had an interview with Sean Payton, and that was a Zoom meeting. Now, that was a day before anybody could meet in person with Sean Payton, but why not wait a day or two? The interview with Ben Johnson was a Zoom meeting. The only one that they've had in person was Thomas Brown, who's the assistant head coach, tight ends coach Rams. For the Los Angeles Rams. But Thomas Brown came to Houston. Like, Thomas Brown came to visit the Texans here. Houston has not went anywhere to court somebody. Zoom was Benny.
Okay.
To the best of my knowledge, the only person that they've interviewed in person was Thomas Brown, and Thomas Brown came to Houston. That might have been a Thomas Brown like, hey, I'm going to cancel this Zoom meeting you have for me. I want the job. I'm going to show that I'm eager, so I'm coming to you. We don't know. It could have been that. It wouldn't surprise me if a coaching candidate that really wants a head coaching job is like, hey, look, let's cancel the Zoom. Let's meet man-to-man, face-to-face. So we don't know if that was the Texans wanting Thomas Brown in-house or if it was Thomas Brown wanting to come to the interview in-house. If the Texans really want D'Amico Ryans, because Blankers, quite honestly right now, I'm not 100% convinced that this whole coaching search isn't an illusion. Because they put together a solid list, right? Payton, D'Amico Ryans, Kafka Steichen, Payton, like a bunch of names that are like, oh, we got to take the Texans seriously now. Because everybody saw the list and be like, oh, look at the Texans, new Texans. They're being very serious about this coaching search. Why, if you had Jonathan Gannon all along, you put together this candidate list to make it look like you really care. You don't really go, like, you go through the motions in these interview processes, Zooms, you kind of tell Sean Payton that you want him, but then he calls your organization dysfunctional because he saw your owner in the Zoom meeting. If you're really serious about somebody not named Jonathan Gannon, you should be hopping on the plane, going to wherever they're at, and having a conversation. Because, look, you are courting the head coach. Sure, the head coach needs to court you a little bit and impress you a little bit as well. But a dude of D'Amico Ryan's stature who's already turned down head coaching jobs in the past, if you need him for people to take your organization seriously, and I think that some people would say that you do, the Texans need to be fueling up the plane and heading to California, NorCal, and having that impression with D'Amico Ryan's to try to court him to come to Houston. These Zoom meetings are stupid.
Let me just say this too, Jeremy. It means more to, and this this may offend people to hear this, but it's true. It also means more if you're a minority candidate, because with the Rooney Rule, a Zoom chat's the easiest way to check it off the list and sweep it under the rug and say, been there, done that. Okay, let's move on to candidates that we're also going to focus on. The fact that the Texans have been so out of whack in a lot of ways, or looked at to be out of whack with what they did in the last 2 years, it's even more imperative as a franchise that, whether right or wrong, that you try and do right and set the right tone, as you're doing with everything else, trying to get a complete restart by taking the plane and talking in person and making a little extra effort. It doesn't, yeah, it costs a little bit. At the end of the day, with the money that Cal makes, the organization makes, it doesn't cost anything at all. And you need to go and make that extra effort, because the effort that you didn't put enough into in your coaching search has made you look like a bunch of idiots. So you might as well do that too, because you're right. If you do truly want to mean business with someone, go and get there and sit down and break bread and do it the right way.
Texans interviewing DeMeco Ryans today. Does it need to be in person? Does it show you how serious they are if they don't? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Also, what does the Texans pitch need to be to DeMeco Ryans? Because I think the Texans need to sell themselves to DeMeco more than DeMeco needs to sell himself to the Texans. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
Guys, right now I want to tell you about Frankie's Italian Kitchen. I've been talking about Frankie's Italian Kitchen for quite a while. And I speak for them because I believe in their food. I believe it's the best Italian food that you're going to taste in the Houston area. And you need to try them because, yeah, they're basically located to be a hop, skip, and a jump from Katy, Richmond, Sugar Land, all the areas in and around Fulshear. But you could also, just by making the drive, realize it's worth it, because when you get to Frankie's and you understand how good the food is, you will be back again and again to try the things that you saw other people getting that you didn't order, saying, I'm going to be back and try that next time. The food is fantastic. Chris Smith's not only the owner, he's the chef. He prepares all the food from scratch. He gets all the freshest ingredients, from the produce to the meat, and he makes it there in the kitchen to your perfect specifications to make sure that you are pleased with the taste of every meal. I was there last week. I could not be happier with the meals that I had for myself and my kids. They were absolutely outstanding. The chicken marsala, off the charts. Phenomenal. Kids had pizza. The pizza oven makes the crust perfectly, and the pasta's delectable too. It's all fantastic. And now it's a location that's double the size of the original, and they're only a mile away from the old spot. The new location is on FM 1093. Between Spring Green and FM 1463. Really, it's less than a mile off of Highway 99. And once you get there, settle in. Dino's Bar is there with 8 big screen TVs. You want to watch sports and spread out with your friends? You can do that. You want to just get a table for the whole family and relax? You can do that too. Doesn't matter what you're wearing and what fork you use. It just matters that you're there and you're sampling the best Italian food in the area. Frankie's Italian Kitchen, TX.com. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by.
ESPN 97.5. Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. DeMeco Ryans interviewing today, in person, Zoom. Who knows? I guess, I mean, some people have to know. We don't know. Hadn't been reported. I would love to know if this is on Zoom or if this is in person. Blankers, I think it's possible, because somebody just texted in. 5030, the most important hire in your organization cannot be over Zoom. I would completely agree with that. Now, if I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit here, you can do an early Zoom, initial Zoom, and then you go full court press trying to court them in person, wine and dine them. You bring them here, you go there, et cetera, et cetera. I don't like the message that it sends doing it Zoom whenever other organizations are going to meet him. Let's just assume for a moment that the Houston Texans' two top candidates going into this process. Like Ian Rappaport says, the Texans are serious on Sean Payton. Could that be a leak? Absolutely, it could be a leak to try to create the illusion that they're serious. But if we assume that Sean Payton's one of their top candidates and that DeMeco Ryans is one of their top candidates, they're having a Zoom with Sean Payton while the Denver Broncos go to L.A. and meet with Sean Payton for 5 to 6 hours, probably in a very nice hotel, probably with some very good catering, probably a drink or two of Geno Ben, the very, very best. Okay, that's the Sean Payton side of it. The DeMeco Ryans side of it. If DeMeco Ryans is your favorite top candidate, if he's one of the top two candidates for Nick Caserio and Kyle McNair, and he's very involved, which is a mistake, you're going to meet with him in Zoom while the Denver Broncos are going out of their way to fly to San Francisco to make things easier on DeMeco Ryans and to meet them in person? That's a bad look. If ownership matters a lot for coaches, and Sean Payton told us that wasn't Colin Coward's word. Sean Payton told us that ownership is very important whenever he's picking out a place that he wants to coach. If ownership's important and Blankers, you're in the shoes of either Sean Payton or DeMeco Ryans, what impresses you more? A Zoom meeting or the Denver ownership, the Walmart owners, like they don't have anything better to do, are flying to you to try to court you? Which one's going to leave a better impression?
Yeah, there's no doubt. See, that's why going back to what you said, start the segment, my big thing would be, unless I communicated personally to the said candidate, hey, look, I know you're really busy this week with everything going on. We fully intend to sit down with you in person after this playoff run is over. But in the meantime, we want to let you know how interested we are. And you kind of set the tone that way. Then the conversation can do what you said. And can it start on a Zoom and then kind of progress to the next level of meeting in person and doing all these things? But if they're out of the playoffs, if it is as it relates to Sean Payton or anybody else that's either not currently coaching in the playoffs.
No, you can meet with them in person if they're in the playoffs.
I'm not talking about the rules.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I'm talking about the rules of warfare, the way you're supposed to go about the interview
like
process.
Like RBI versus RBIs, yeah.
Right. Like, you want to talk about protocol for someone that you're truly interested in. You never get a second chance to make that first impression. Like I said, you roll out the red carpet and you schmooze the freaking hell out of them and then leave it to be your decision not to take them, but leave no doubt in their mind that that's where they want to be.
Yeah.
Because the worst thing you can do is go. I've been through many of them. I was in an interview in the last 5 years with an NBA team.
Oh, did you disclose this to our bosses?
That was back in the day. Different bosses now.
You haven't been here for 5 years?
Yeah, I have. Different bosses, though. But different story for a different day. The thing is, if they don't have a ride lined up for you and transportation from the airport to the hotel and the hotel to the offices, if they put you in a bad hotel, if they have you meeting with people and they don't know how to get in touch with said people that are supposed to be very high-ranking officials so that you can have a conversation and you have to use your own intel to make the meeting happen, it sends a red flag up that goes, what's going on here? Like, how organized is this entire place? And it sends a bad message. And that's what I don't think, no matter how much I believe that they're getting coached up on how to restart the entire franchise, I don't think the coaching has gone far enough because this is a bad look. And I don't care who you ask and who you talk to and who you say, oh, you're just picking apart the Texans. No, I'm being honest with you because you think Jerry Jones is going to do something like that when he can bring his plane and show them just what Jerry World's all about and how Jerry does business? No, sir. They're out there to send the image, and whether the candidate gets the job or not, they're going to say, damn, that dude knew how to do everything first class when he talked to me about that job.
How wanted can you feel by an ownership group that is telling you to meet with us on the computer, and then another ownership group is going to you and meeting you face-to-face? Like, there is a level of serious to one. There is a level of not being serious on another. Lamont says, Branham, bro, I think you be creating drama in your head and you feast off of it, LOL. Aren't there rules where the Texans can't have a face-to-face with coaches in the playoffs? Yeah, you can have a face-to-face after the wild card round. That's why the Denver Broncos went to San Francisco literally yesterday and met with DeMeco Ryans. Reported, and then DeMeco Ryans also said in his press conference, yeah, I met with Denver today. So no, those rules that you were talking about were last week. In the divisional round, you can now meet with these candidates in person. Now, I don't think DeMeco Ryans is going to abandon his city while he's game planning for a game against the Cowboys coming up this weekend. But he's already showed you he's willing to meet with Denver. He's already telling you that he's willing to meet with you today for a certain period of time. Hop on the plane and head to San Francisco. Well, look, we don't know if they are or not. I have no idea. I haven't seen it reported by anybody. Maybe the Texans are going to San Francisco. And if they are, kudos. Like, that's what you should be doing. Because I'm not 100% convinced right now, Blankers, that the Texans haven't created this really good coaching list as an illusion. that ultimately Nick Caserio knows he wants to hire Jonathan Gannon. He eventually knows that Jonathan Gannon is going to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. So he creates this all-star list to try to give the illusion to people, look, we did our very best. Look, we talked to all of the hot shots. We talked to all of the names at the top of the market. But ultimately, we decided on Jonathan Gannon. Because what we know right now, Ben Johnson was, you know, you had interest in him. He had interest enough to interview with you. And then he pulled his name out of all consideration from all three different teams in the NFL. What we know is that Sean Payton had a Zoom interview with the Houston Texans. He told Colin Cowherd on Monday that ownership matters, then had dinner with him on Tuesday, Colin Cowherd, and then Wednesday on Colin Cowherd's show, he spent the first 8.5 minutes saying how ownership matters and how you can tell dysfunction via Zoom. Probably got that from Sean Payton. And now D'Amico Ryans is interviewing. If they do it versus like via Zoom, if they have a Zoom interview with D'Amico Ryans, if Sean Payton never interviews again with the Houston Texans, Ben Johnson's pulled his name out of your list and all of the other lists that he was associated with, and then the Houston Texans hire Jonathan Gannon in 2 weeks, this whole coaching list was an illusion.
Scam. Look, we started talking about this even before the latest story with Sean Payton happened, that it could be just to try and regain the imagery of having a big name coach that's willing to meet with you and you getting an interview with the biggest name in the coaching cycle for this go round. And then as it kept going, you were like, okay, now wait a minute. Did Sean Payton just do you a solid? Because you and I had this conversation in the hallway yesterday where I said, hey man, here's the thing. And I think you were talking to Sean Mapes at the same time, but it's like the whole thing could have been a front, but he kept mentioning how he was friends with the owners, even though it was just during, you know, combined practices and training camps and things like that. But if you knew the McNair family, then you obviously know how the entire organization has been put through the ringer in a negative light. If you at least go through the interview process and do them a solid and then speak positively about the experience interviewing, until you don't, then you send a message that, hey, the Texans aren't as bad as you think. Texans know what they're doing and they got their bleep together because they met with me and things went well. But then subsequently, a day or two later, here comes the firestorm that maybe it was just a smokescreen and it didn't go the way you said it did or they'd like you to say that it did.
I'm scared of that, man. Like, seriously, you mentioned yesterday Jonathan Gannon's the betting favorite to be the head coach of the Texans. If you held a gun to my head right now and told me, like, who do you, or you asked me the question, who's going to be the next head coach of the Texans? It would be hard for me to not say Jonathan Gannon. Like, honestly, if my life depends on it, who's the coach, next coach of the Texans, I would tell you Jonathan Gannon. B-Mac, are you any different on that? If we held a gun to your head, we would never do that, promise you, even if the statute of limitations ran out on that.
Even if I disagree with you on RBI or RBIs?
That's debatable. We're talking football here. Who would be that coach for you?
If you're making me guess who the Texans are hiring, it'll be Jonathan Gannon.
Okay, Jonathan Gannon's like the popular likely choice for the Texans. Not the popular pick. I don't think anybody really wants Jonathan Gannon as their number one guy.
I don't like it at all.
He's fourth on my list, but that's who I think they're hiring.
I don't think there's anybody in Houston, honestly. If you're a Texans fan in the city of Houston and Jonathan Gannon's number one on your list, please call 713-780-ESPN and tell us why. 713-780-3776. But Vegas is telling us Jonathan Gannon's the favorite. We all feel in our plums that Jonathan Gannon's the favorite to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. They aren't taking it seriously with Sean Payton. They're not taking it seriously with D'Amico Ryans potentially. We don't know if it's in person or via Zoom. They had a Zoom meeting with Ben Johnson as well. They're not taking the search seriously. They put together their list. They want everybody to think it's serious. Nick Caserio's telling Ian Rappaport, oh, yeah, we're willing to pay the price on Sean Payton, but if in 2 or 3 weeks they hire Jonathan Gannon, they tricked you. They fooled you. They made you think that they were being serious this time, and they hired the guy that Nick Caserio wanted 12 months ago.
Especially when they've already shown us this move from their playbook before when they hired Nick Caserio.
I'm calling BS. I'm calling the bluff of the Houston Texans right now.
You take it a step further, too, to say, look, this is what they learned from the last go-round. Don't suddenly just drop out of nowhere a name and then have everybody react to it because it's going to be negative. But if you say that he was involved in the process and you look like you went through an extensive process, there won't be as much ramifications when you pull the name out of the process that no one wants you to pull in the first place.
I think the tell, if we get this information, I don't know if we will, but I think the tell will be to whether or not you're right in this, Jeremy, is if Gannon's the only one they meet with in person.
Well, they hired Thomas Brown in person. And okay, they did Zoom with Gannon.
I don't think anyone takes Thomas Brown.
They did it a day apart with the two Eagles guys.
Zoom?
On Zoom, yeah.
Yeah. So, and look, If Sean Payton, if news comes out today that Sean Payton has a second interview lined up with the Texans in
person,
changes
things.
Okay, I'll back off what I'm saying. Even if I hear that the Texans are flying to San Francisco today and meeting with D'Amico Ryans, okay, that changes things. I'll take a step off of my stance. But if we find out that the Texans don't have a second meeting with Sean Payton, never in person, they don't have a second meeting with D'Amico Ryans, never in person, and they hire Jonathan Gannon in 2 or 3 weeks, the bluff that I'm calling right now is an absolute fact, and I believe that's the road that we're trending down. 713-780-ESPN. Let's have that conversation, though. What does the Texans' pitch have to be to D'Amico Ryans to make him interested in this job? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. D'Amico Ryans, is he interested in the Texans' job? Who knows? One thing that you should be interested in, though, is a goal from Prodan Koops. It's the best basketball goal on the market. Tempered glass backboard gives you that true, authentic feel. Extended overhang keeps a clear path under the rim, keep you, your loved ones, and your ankles very, very safe. Also, a competition-grade breakaway rim that's perfect for dunking, hanging, and keeping you safe. And the reason that I'm mentioning dunking is because adjustable goals for every part of the game. You can lower it down as low as 5 feet, throw down some jams, have your own little slam dunk competition, or you can raise it up to regulation, work on that shot. Or if you have a kid, your kid working on his shot too. Maybe you have a kid playing basketball. And if you do, you need a goal from ProDunk Hoops. Durability is a strength of ProDunk Hoops. Stainless steel fasteners, thicker steel, and exclusive rust armor makes them sturdy and strong. The best feature, though, they install the goal. The pros at ProDunk Hoops will come to your place, install your goal, perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. You don't have any fear of screwing it up because the pros will do all of the work for you. ProDunk Hoops goals come in a variety of sizes and options. They'll be the perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Give them a call at 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5. Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, a lot of theories here in the first 30 minutes of the program. 713-780-ESPN. 5030. I just don't think that any one of these candidates would choose the Texans. That's a... Okay, that's a conversation. Let's have that conversation. Okay. And Yahoo Sports recently has the Texans as the worst open head coaching situation.
I adamantly disagree with
you. Of the five jobs, okay, like, I don't necessarily disagree with you. Their list is Carolina, Denver, Indy, Arizona, Houston. Cool. We can all put our list together. Frank Schwab put this one together. It says Carolina, Denver, Indy, Arizona, Houston, in that order, 1 through 5 head coaches. This texter says 5030. I just don't think that any one of these candidates would choose the Texans. We do know for a fact that Ben Johnson didn't want it. Ben Johnson didn't want the Houston Texans job. He didn't want the Carolina job. He didn't want the Indy job. That's a fact.
I think he just didn't want to be a head coach this cycle.
That's fine.
Right, and if you want to get specific on it, you can't argue the fact that, yeah, because they had already interviewed him.
The reasons of why he pulled his name out of the three hats that he was involved in, we really don't know.
Right.
I think it's a conversation of like what our best guess is. Mm-hmm. I'm of the belief that if any one of those three jobs were ideal jobs for Ben Johnson. Like, if he walked into the Houston Texans front office and was like, okay, they went and courted me. Okay, wow, Kyle McNair is a wonderful owner. Oh, wow, Nick Caserio is a great general manager. I could really see myself have success here. They have pick 2 and 12. They have 2 first-rounders next year and all this cap space. If he fell in love with the situation, I don't think it would have been easy for him to walk back into Detroit as the offensive coordinator. A lot of people think he just wants to go back there for a year because he thinks the coaching jobs next year will be better. If that's true, then that's telling you that Ben Johnson didn't like these three jobs this year and is waiting a year for the next cycle, which is dangerous because of Byron Leftwich.
It's also, you better hope you're playing chess and they're playing checkers, because if not, it can bite you in the butt. You might not be the hot candidate a year from now, and you may turn out to be the next version of Eric Bieniemy and others that thought the grass would be greener a year from now, and then it wasn't.
Yeah, and look, we don't know the Ben Johnson reason. Like, that, we have our own theories. I understand that. But what we do know to be a fact is that Ben Johnson was somebody the Texans were interested in. Ben Johnson, for a minute, at least had enough interest to interview for the job. And then third, Ben Johnson took his name out of the Houston Texans hat, the Colts hat, the Carolina Panthers hat. Yep. So that's a fact. Sean Payton, we know for a fact, interviewed for the Houston Texans position via Zoom a day before you could meet with him in person. We know that Sean Payton and Colin Cowherd have a relationship of some sort. We know that they had dinner. We know that the very day. Yeah, we know where they had
Colin.
Yeah. Exactly. We know where they had dinner. Colin Cowherd dropped two other pieces of information that were true, by the way, in this 8.5 minute diatribe about Sean Payton and all of that. So, like, there is an element of truth there. And then Colin Cowherd went as far to say that you can tell via Zoom which owners are dysfunctional in the league. Do you want to buy that? Do you want to believe that he was talking about the Texans? Do you want to believe he was talking about Cal McNair? That's up to you. I think that he was. So you're telling me right now, like, to the Texas point, nobody's going to want this job. Frank Schwab of CBS, or of Yahoo rather, says Carolina, Denver, Indy, Arizona, and dead last for the top NFL head coach openings are the Houston Texans. You're saying that's not true. Why?
I don't agree with it. We talked about it previously. When he started looking at stacking and racking the reasons why teams would be very attractive to a potential coach, the one thing that's very unattractive in the Denver situation starting with Russell Wilson, starting with the fact that he's tied up long-term. He played like dog snot for most of the season. He looked like he was a shell of himself. And this is the guy that isn't going anywhere that you have to deal with. And, oh, by the way, to get him, you had to give up a lot of assets and draft capital that kind of sets you back even further. So you've got to – and you don't have a whole lot of cap space to be able to maneuver to try and add to this team to make it better to do the things that you are going to be brought in and responsible for trying to do. So I don't think that that's a very attractive job. I think the fact that with Arizona, you've got a general manager already in place, and that already ruffled the feathers of Peyton. But more so than that, again, starting with the quarterback position, trying to make this as simplified as I can. And with a Kyler Murray-type player, a guy that hasn't matured, a guy that you just signed to a mega deal that's making way more money than he deserves based on his performance on the field and his emotions and his actions, looks like a guy that even guys in his own locker room are tired of and don't like dealing with and get upset with. That's not the kind of firestorm that I want to walk into as a new head coach, and especially with a general manager that I probably don't have a relationship with. And then again, have it on my shoulders to be the guy at the front of all this that's expected to turn it around. So those two right now go to the bottom for me. I think Indianapolis is a very attractive job. I think it's because of the fact that you have a competent general manager. However, they've swung and missed on a couple of veteran quarterbacks. You have a high draft pick coming up that might even get higher, and it might give you your pick of the litter of whatever quarterback you want as an offensive-minded head coach, especially that's very important. And the fact that because the rest of the roster, with an all-pro type running back in Jonathan Taylor, good young receivers, a decent offensive line, and a pretty good defense, that's a team that's set up to win. So that goes higher on my list. Carolina's a team coming kind of somewhere in the middle. Finished the season strong under Steve Wilks. But other than that, have been a complete and utter disaster. You got to figure out quarterback. You still have Sam Darnold on the roster. You have some good young pieces. You don't know what you're going to have to give up if it's Sean Payton. But if you don't have to give anything up, you're still probably, you know, not where you want to be, but it's fixable. So I think that, again, moves closer to the top of the list. But when you look at the Texans and you say, you've got all this draft capital, you've got 5 picks in the first 3 rounds, you've got 11 or 12 picks in this draft with multiple firsts coming in the next year. You had a good draft last year with some very, very good players that have turned out to be guys that are going to be starters for you. You have an opportunity to do something with quarterback immediately and maybe even give him a weapon. You have money to spend to be able to go out and get into free agency. How can this be the last choice on the list? How can this be the worst job out there? The only thing that is a glaring thing that you can point to with all the other negatives I point out with the other teams is management and ownership. That's the one thing that could actually set you back, is the fact that when you look at the bumbling idiot that has been Cal McNair and continues to be, when you look at the uncertainty about Nick Caserio, who's in his first go-around as a general manager, who hasn't exactly set the world on fire to impress other football people, that's the one thing that you'd have to come in and, as part of your negotiation, say, look, I understand that there's been some negatives and a light that has been shown on your owner and your general manager. I need say-so. And if you really want to go balls out on it, say, I need the final say-so on moves that we're going to make personnel-wise, because otherwise I don't want to be here because it's my ass that's on the line. But I think the Texans are in the top 3 of the 5, and I would put them second on the list, only behind, I would say, the Colts. And I would put Carolina right behind the Texans.
See, when you ask that question, how could you have them at the bottom, and you covered it, the immediate answer is Cal. That's the immediate answer. And it depends on your value of ownership, right? Like, how much does ownership play into the equation of how attractive the job is, because you accurately nailed the appeal for the Houston Texans job. It's no secret. The appeal of the Houston Texans job is that you have 2-12. You have 2 first-round draft picks next year. You have a total of 11 draft picks this year, so you can turn over a huge chunk of your roster this year alone, and that's before you even mention the salary cap space that you have. So you have 11 draft picks, and not all of them will make the team, but let's assume like 6 or 7 make the team. You're looking at 6 or 7 new players to a 53-man roster. You have the salary cap space to probably bring in 2-3 starters and then probably like 4, 5, 6 other players that are going to make the 53. So you're looking at upwards of like somewhere between 12 to 15 new players on a 53-man roster, and I might be selling it short. So you can have a high degree of turnover immediately with the Houston Texans when it comes to the roster. The question now becomes, though, how much value do you give draft pick capital, salary cap space, and then how much value do you give to ownership? Because the top two teams that you have listed there, there's huge questions about ownership. Jim Irsay, number one, and apparently Josh McDaniel's wife told him to pull out of the job because Jim Irsay was in their bathroom for an hour. Weird. Cal McNair.
What?
Yeah, we'll get to that later. Cal McNair. Like, we went through this yesterday. All of the items that he's had on his resume as the, you know, front man of the Houston Texans organization. Can't call him an owner, apparently. Call him CEO, chairman. But with him in the head seat, with him being the maestro of this organization, Bill O'Brien, GM power, bad trade, probably the worst GM in NFL history. Jack Easterby had influence and control. You go get Nick Caserio big GM money for a very, very long time. We don't really know how great Nick Caserio is going to be. Other things along the way, David Culley, Lovie Smith. You can go item by item by item of all the failures and shortcomings that Cal McNair has had as the maestro of the Houston Texans organization. If you're a head coach like Sean Payton, you look at that and be like, man, I sure like that draft capital. I sure like that salary cap space, but can we ever win with an owner like that? Can I escape poor ownership? And I would argue, and look, I'm not saying the Texans are the worst job that's available of these five. I really don't think any of them are all that attractive. I think that's why Benny Johnson pulled his name out of the hat, because all five of these really aren't that great, and I think you kind of summed up how they all have weaknesses and they all have holes. But if you think that ownership matters more than anything else, how can you look at the Houston Texans and say that's a super attractive job?
I think that it starts with the owner being able to come out and admit his shortcomings.
But he did the opposite. He said, I'm going to be more involved.
I know. He said that for the search itself. But I think that when in answering your question and how do you make it more attractive to the actual candidates, one of the first things that's discussed, whether the candidate brings it up or he brings it up to try to nip it in the bud right in the start of the conversation, saying, hey, look, I've kind of misstepped a little bit here since I've taken over from my father. There's some things I wish I had done differently. Just understand, if you take this job and you are on board to work with us, I'm not going to be a thorn in your side. I'm going to be as much of a complimentary piece as I can be. I'm going to try and stay out of your way. If there's a big, massive decision as it relates to the franchise itself, I feel like it's my duty and I have to be involved. But other than that, I'm bringing you here to do a job, and then I'm going to get out of the way and let you do that. If he was capable of actually putting those sentences together, let alone believing that in his heart of hearts to execute it, that would go a long way towards changing the narrative with the candidates.
That's part of the sales pitch to DeMeco Ryans. Let's put ourselves in the shoes of Nick Caserio and Cal McNair. How are we selling DeMeco Ryans this job? 713-780-ESPN. How would you sell this job to DeMeco Ryans? Because quite frankly, Texans need to be selling DeMeco. DeMeco doesn't need to be selling himself to the Texans. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
I'll tell you how you sell the job to anybody in Houston, Texas. You tell them, hey, you know what? You come to Houston because Doc Linville's there. Doc Linville's the best in the business at the neograft procedure. If you've been struggling with your appearance and you know you're going bald and you've got all kinds of spots that just are embarrassing and you don't know what to do about it other than shave your head or experiment with some of these creams and foams and other things that try and mask the problem, you don't understand what Doc Linville does with the neograft procedure. He takes your own hair from areas that genetically you're never going to lose your own hair, which is the sides and back of your head, and puts them where you need them most. That could be in the front because your forehead is turned into an 8 head. It could be in the back of your head where you got the baboon's butt showing, and it's not a very good look when you're amongst mixed company in a dress-up situation. Well, it can all be fixed with the neograft procedure, and Doc Linville does it better than anybody else. For you, what you need to know is, as an ESPN listener, you can get a consultation with Doc Linville and his staff, and it's absolutely free. It normally costs $150, but you as listeners get it for free. Go in, open mind, list of questions. Let them hang out. Give them every question you got. They'll give you answers and then see if the procedure's right for you. If it's not, then you walk away scot-free. If it is, then you'll know you're dealing with the very best in the business and you're going to see results. Because the NeoGraft procedure worked for me. And the one that got me was 95%+ of the follicles that are moved stay and grow and are with you for the long haul. It's absolutely fantastic. It takes about 6 to 9 months for them all to grow in. Once they do, they continue to grow and they flourish. And they're great to look at when you get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and go, I got my hair back again. It's an awesome feeling. Check them out. Tell them I sent you by. And check out the procedure. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com, set up that free consultation. You don't have to do anything after that except for show up, get the answers, and see if you are interested in the program. If you are, sign up. If not, walk away. 975hair.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. Fun sports. All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Just talked to Lance in the hallways. Yeah. I said Will Levis.
Is he speaking to you today?
Yeah.
Until you said Will Levis, and then he shut you out.
No, he actually had a pretty good conversation about Levis. He's going to do a YouTube video this afternoon. I'm not going to say what time at 2, because it's right in the middle of our show at 2.
Yeah, I saw that. He was advertising it on Twitter.
But, yeah, he's going to do one of those today on Bryce Young. I would recommend, Killer Bees would recommend, because it's at 2, and we go on the air till 3, to watch the archive of it on
replay
the ESPN
it, yeah.
97.5 YouTube. But I am going to go back and watch that, because I really like Bryce Young. I know that I'm kind of the Will Levis guy of this show, but if the Texans ended up with Bryce Young, I'd be over the moon. Like, I really would. I'd be very excited about Bryce Young. Now, I do have some fears about the coaching search, you know, and who's going to be coaching him.
And I think that's where you go with that, Jeremy. I think that Bryce Young would be the Sean Payton of the draft for the layman and the average football fan. Like, Bryce okay. Young to the draft. See where I'm going here, though?
I'm listening.
So, Bryce Young, of all the people that's just a common football fan or a common Texans fan, they've heard so much about Bryce Young that if they hear that the Texans are not only talking to Bryce Young, but if they hear the Texans take Bryce Young with their first round pick, and they end up with Bryce Young, there's a level of excitement. There's a buzz in the air. There's a feeling before he even puts on a number and a uniform and represents the city of Houston and the organization that they have done something positive that everybody can get on board with, because it seems like they did it right, because that's the name they hear the most. From a coaching perspective, same thing. Sean Payton's the clout name. Sean Payton is the guy that carries the baggage that says, I'm the man. Of all the people that you can sit down and have a conversation with on Zoom or in person, you understand one thing. I'm the leader in the clubhouse before the process even begins, because I've won a Super Bowl. I've done a lot of good things. I've been on TV recently, and the fans are familiar with me. Not these names of Steichen and all these people that and Kafka and all these guys that they don't even really know, and they think Gannon was a quarterback for the Raiders. This is the name that rattles the cage in a positive way. This is the Bryce Young of the coaching search, and this is why I think the Texans at least were adamant of meeting with him, but obviously it doesn't seem like they handled it the right way, and they didn't make a very good impression.
Who was the Giants OC?
Kafka.
Who's the Eagles OC?
Steichen.
You said it better the first time.
Yeah, you put a lot of stink.
You sounded
on it
the first like time. He sounded like a, yeah, there you go. You sound like an actor in Glorious Bastards whenever
yeah,
you say.
Yeah.
But if you take the average football fan and says, you know, what's a Steichen? Well, I don't know. Is it a Danish or is it an offensive coordinator? What's a Kafka? Well, it's on a hard roll and it's a sausage. It sounds like more like menu items. I want the Kafka with sauerkraut and a beer. I mean, you're looking at all these names that don't resonate with people, but you hear Sean Payton, and you know, to a lesser degree, if you heard a Harbaugh or a Kingsbury, people would at least stop, pause, wide-eyed, go, oh, I've heard that name before. But the rest of the guys on the list, unlike for us that really live it every day, for a lot of people and the average fan, and you're trying to win back the average fan if you're Cal McNair, they're going to be like, you hired Jonathan who?
Yeah.
You hired a Gannon?
Steichen. Kafka.
Wasn't he the quarterback of the Raiders that lost to Gruden and the Buccaneers? I mean,
you should have stopped. You should have stopped after your Steichen and your Kafka. You should have been like, that's it for me. I'm out of here. That's all I got in me today. I would go even a step further, though, because I like your comparison. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some people that don't like the Payton hire, because if it were to happen, I don't think it's going to happen, but if it did, because of the trade compensation.
Like, that's
so
true, too.
So the Payton comes with an element of disdain. Whereas Bryce Young wouldn't. And Bryce Young would be a very popular pick. And some people were talking on Twitter yesterday because, you know, I'm on this, you know, I'm the maverick of Will Levis. Some people that were, you know, talking to me in my mentions and stuff like that were saying, well, I don't think that Cal would even do it because of what you just drew up, because of the excitement and the buzz of a Bryce Young and even a C.J. Stroud. I think C.J. Stroud's in that same conversation, to which point I kind of agree. Like, I kind of agree that Cal McNair, if he's going to be more involved, is going to make that pick more based on excitement, like jersey sales, merchandise, season tickets, than he is necessarily about, like, quality of play. Now, if Cal just completely gets out of the way and gives Caserio full reign, maybe not. Like, it depends on how much Cal is involved, which he told you, at least in the coaching search, he's going to be more involved. D'Amico Ryans and the Texans are meeting today. I think that this is probably the last chance for the Houston Texans to really hire at the very top of the market, because tier one for me was Ben Johnson. Tier two for me is D'Amico Ryans. Sean Payton's like high on those tiers too, but he lowers my excitement because of what you would have to give to New Orleans to trade for Sean Payton. That part scares me. And Kafka and Steichen I'd be happy with, but they're below D'Amico Ryans. Like, I mentioned yesterday that my hope for the Texans, like, finally figuring it out, like, fired Easterby. They're real serious with Caserio. They fired Lovie right away, didn't mess around, put together a real solid coaching list. Like, a lot of that told you the Texans are serious now. I'm calling their bluff, and if they don't hire anybody aside from Jonathan Gannon, I think that I'm right. But I believe this is the last chance, because I think Sean Payton, that ship has sailed. The Ben Johnson ship has sailed. I think this is the Texans' last chance to still create that hope. Anything less than D'Amico Ryans, I think that hope that we felt at the start of the offseason is completely gone.
No, I agree with you. I think that, again, like they're trying to do across the board, it's salvageable. It's teetering, but it's salvageable. And they've been obviously showing that they're trying to make an effort to try and salvage everything about the organization and the franchise, to try and bring people back, to try and tell people, look, we may not have done it right before, but we're all about doing it the right way this time. But now, once again, they're teetering. They're almost knocked out. And there's a lot of people that are waiting to get off that bus. And so you got to handle this the right way. And so far, I don't think they have done that. Now, we'll see what they end up doing between now and actually picking the coach and how they go about their business. But they're on notice because people aren't dumb. And they see through a lot of this. They read through the tea leaves that Sean Payton has put out.
I don't know.
I think a lot of people understand it.
I hope they do. I hope they do. I hope that they realize that this potentially could be an illusion that the Texans have created to try to get you to take them seriously. And at the end of the day, they still hire Jonathan
Nobody
Gannon.
Spelled it hope out I'm better wrong. Than we did, but lots of yeah. other shows also started to catch on to the fact that, look, the Zoom chat that he has to be referring to is Cal McNair.
No doubt. No
and
doubt.
So that's a bad look. Now, you can rectify the look, but it takes two to tango, too. If Peyton's already basically sent the message, don't call me because I'm not calling you. I don't want the second interview. Then guess what? Message sent the wrong direction.
What's the pitch today to D'Amico?
You've been here, done that. You know what?
Tell me the setting first.
Well, ideally, the setting is that Cal rolls up and gets off of his private plane and pulls up in a SUV limo and says, D'Amico, you pick the restaurant. Otherwise, we've made reservations at the three top restaurants in the Bay Area. But we need to sit down with you for some time. I know you got a game to prepare for, but we need to talk to you about something that we are adamant about, and that is bringing you home where you belong to the Houston Texans. You will remember this franchise when we built it into its heyday, and you saw the success that it can have, that you can have, and you saw the fan base and the way the entire city can galvanize behind you, and we need you here to do that again. Forget about all the other things that have happened in the past, and remember that those good times can be had again if you lead our ship going forward.
Lead our what?
Our ship.
Okay.
Yep. So now, that was a starting point.
You know who's with me? I love all of that. You know who's with me? Former teammate Andre Johnson. You know who else is with me? His former head coach, Gary Kubiak. Those dudes are coming with me as I go court D'Amico Ryans. I showed D'Amico Ryans full court press. This is our family. This is who we are. We need you. You're a Houston Texan. We need to be the Houston Texans.
Might put Kush on that plane, too. Yeah, but he and Kush played together.
That's true. Linebackers together.
Linebackers.
Depending on their relationship.
In the same room, right.
At minimum, a flight, top restaurant, and those dudes need to be part of the Houston Texans parliament.
Because I always speak from my experiences, and I'm going back to what we talked about yesterday. When the Rockets were ready to make a free agent pitch, thank God it wasn't just Daryl, Les, and Tad Brown in a room, or you would have had a Cal effect. But when you have Akeem Olajuwon sitting across the table from you, and you have Clyde Drexler sitting next to him, And you have guys that are, and in some cases, you have your best player in the room as well. And they're all there to tell you this is the place that you need to be. And nobody else needs to talk to you because we want you the most. We need you the most. And you are the best fit with us. It's hard to argue with the Dream and the Glide and everything that's going to be put on the full court press. Absolutely a great call on your part. You have those kind of guys in the room, you're making an impact.
Bring him home. Go get him. Don't meet him through Zoom on a computer. Go get D'Amico. Bring D'Amico Ryans home. 713-780-ESPN. It's their last chance to save any sort of hope that I have. 713-780-3776. Last week on BZ Money, the Killer Bees gave you a winner. It was a bad week, but we gave you a winner. We got some ground to make up, and we do it next. BZ Money with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.